Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Best Fiends. With over 100 million downloads and tons of five-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends. It's late at night, and in the distant part of your home, you can hear the gleeful sounds of children playing and singing. Normal, right? Only problem is, you don't have any children. That's today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, and if you really like the show and you want more of it, then don't miss our EPP bonus episodes. We put brand new ones out every single week, exclusively for EPP members, this extra podcast person, what that stands for. You get it at ghostpodcast.com. Sign up there. Or if you prefer Patreon, that's a great app. All the content is over there for you as well. $5 a month in both places, whatever you like. Get all the bonus stuff, advanced episodes. You get a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book. You get the audiobook. You get all the bonus content. You get the advanced episodes. And everything is commercial-free. So you can just binge away. No ads, none of that. And it's only $5. And that's what keeps this show on the air. So if you like it, I highly encourage signing up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi there.
Have you ever hitchhiked?
No, God, no.
Or want to hitchhike?
Just no. For fun, I take that back. I have hitchhiked. I forgot all about this.
Last week, Jenny went hitchhiking.
No, I was a little kid. I was a little kid with my dad.
Okay.
And we were up in the mountains in Colorado, and we were trying to walk up this road to get to this old gold mine that's up at the top of the mountain. And, you know, 6 miles doesn't sound like that much of a hike, except when you're up in the mountains.
It's a mountain.
Yeah, and the altitude and everything. And it's my dad, and I'm six. I'm like Harp's age at the time. So we get most of the way up there, and then it's just too much. So there comes like this Land Rover, or no, it wasn't a Land Rover. It was a, it's like a Jeep, but not, Land Cruiser.
Okay.
Land Cruiser came up, had a lady in it and her daughter, and they took pity on us and took us all the way up the mountain because you had to go all the way up before you could turn around and come back down.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, we hitchhiked. I thought I was going to die being in a car with somebody I didn't know.
Were they like the Hills Have Eyes people or were they normal?
She seemed normal from what I remember.
Yeah.
But still, it's like...
No banjos?
I was with my dad. My dad was a cop at the time, so mm-hmm. he was my superhero. I don't think I would have said, you know, I wouldn't have thrown a fit or anything, but...
Was he packing?
No, maybe. Maybe, I don't know.
That might have made it a little safer feeling, you know?
For us, but not the poor lady that picked us up.
Yeah, no shit.
I think he had a backpack and had stuff in it, you know, drinks and snacks, and he probably had something in there. But yeah, I guess that technically counts as hitchhiking.
Yeah, it does. You did it. You hitchhiked. Congratulations. Hey.
You?
You know, I was thinking when I found something we're going to talk about later on in the show about hitchhiking. I'm like, I've never hitchhiked. I have. You're like, what? I wouldn't have married you had you told me this.
Why? I hitchhiked.
It was a necessity type thing. It mm-hmm. wasn't like, I'm going to go hitchhiking and see where I go. It was, my car had broken down. I was 16. Yeah. I was 16. I had a Pontiac Sunbird and I bought it for $600 from one of the high school teachers at my high school who was getting rid of it. And it was my first car.
Mm-hmm.
Paid for it with all my own money. And driving it up to, I lived in a town called Fond du Lac. And then there's a town called Oshkosh. And yes, Oshkosh Bagosh, that Oshkosh.
Yeah.
They're about 30 miles apart or less. I don't know, about 30-minute drive. Anyway, I'm on the highway. This car is unreliable at best. And smoke starts coming out of the... ventilation system into the car. I'm like, oh shit. So I'm on a busy highway, pull over, the car slowly stops and there's like some flames coming out of the hood,
nice.
You know, because it's overheating so much. And I turn it off. It doesn't get any, the car didn't like burst into flames, mm-hmm. but had I kept driving, it probably would have. So anyway, I'm stuck. And this is pre-most people having cell phones.
Right.
This is like 97, 98 ish, right mm-hmm. around there. And I'm halfway to Oshkosh, and there's nothing there other than like a highway, cornfields, cows, and about three porn stores.
Yeah.
So, and the porn stores were not anywhere nearby, so I could like walk and use a phone. So I, like, oh, you know, what do I do? So I didn't have my thumb out or mm-hmm. anything like, hey, pick me up. But I was just kind of like waving, like hopefully somebody had a car phone.
Was this wintertime?
No, actually it was summer. Thank God.
Okay.
And I'm like, you know, somebody maybe have a car phone or something. Mm-hmm. And again, not a common thing to even have a car phone yet. Some people had them, but you know, maybe one in 50.
Yeah.
If that. So somebody does pull over. Thank God it was like a marked vehicle. It was like some heating and air guy. Mm-hmm. And it said the name of his company on it. So it wasn't like weird white van pulls over. And go, yeah, come here, 16-year-old little boy. Come in the back of the van. I got puppies.
That's gross.
Yeah. But he, I had no options, really. I would probably never do this anymore. I probably would wait till a police officer came. But I was young and dumb. And it was one of those young and dumb moments. But he took me up to the Applebee's that I was meeting someone at. and then from there, I called my parents and then we got back and got my car and my dad. It was like antifreeze or something. I know he had some sort of coolant, I think, in it because it smelled like, you know, kind of that sweet burning smell.
Okay.
And it just smoked all the way home. And my dad did get it. We got it about 30 miles back and it finally completely died about 0.5 miles from my parents' house. You know, like right where the road turns there?
Yeah.
At the corner, four-way uh-huh. stop, that's where it officially died. And so we got that far. Didn't get it any further. But that was my hitchhiking story. Didn't die, didn't get killed, but the guy was a little rough, I guess. I don't want to say shady. I just think he was No, he was working all day. This was the end of the day, and in kind of rough shape, and he didn't really talk to me much. She was just kind of, oh, we need to go. Okay, I'll drop you off there. And, okay, thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. So, yeah, so that was my hitchhiking story.
There you go.
Never hitchhike, kids. It's never a good idea. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories to share your real ghost stories with us. The point of all that coming up, some unsettling true hitchhiking stories that will really make you fear traveling coming up on the program. Right now, though, ghost story. It says, I want to respond to a recent question that I heard on a podcast. First, let me introduce myself. My name is Patty. And I have written 29 books on the paranormal, mostly collections of true ghost stories. I have run the Ghost Research Foundation for approximately 20 years and I'm sensitive. I've taught at Lilydale Assembly and presented at many research academies. I tell you all of this not to brag, but because I want you to know that I've been around it a long time. I do not seek attention as a sensitive, and I never advertise that fact. But on a recent episode of your show, which I truly enjoy, by the way, you asked if any sensitives or psychics ever went to a home and found it not haunted. I'd like to tell you that I and my team have done that. A good case in point is from about 3 years ago. A very nice lady in Central PA contacted us to say that her adult daughter had died from an illness, and now she was haunting their former home. The woman went on to say that she felt scratching on the couch, chair, and even inside the mattress. She felt someone sitting on her bed. She had objects moving, etc. My team and I went to the house, and we start every investigation without any preconceived ideas. In fact, no one knew anything other than the address before arriving. I have another person in the group who is also sensitive. I hung back and left him to try to read the house. I was tainted because I knew the story. I could only monitor the investigation and watch that equipment was used properly. We merged the two types of investigations, and at the end of the night, we had nothing. I felt nothing. Charlie, the other sensitive, felt nothing, but our dear lady was grieving so, and she was so insistent that we held our opinion. Perhaps it was just a bad night. After three more visits, the team talked, and we decided that we had to tell her the truth to get her help. There was nothing in that house except a truly grieving mother. I have a master's degree in the science of psychology and work as a supervisor in an outpatient facility. I found a good OP therapist and connected the two. The woman's haunting ended as she became able to cope with her grief. The hardest part of this case was telling this dear woman that her daughter was not there. It was like she had lost her twice. The woman is still a friend until this day, though, and doing so much better. We never charge and we never lie. We try to help and we hope that when we leave, we have done some good. I imagine you already know I have tons of tales, but I just wanted to pop in and let you know that some people do find houses not haunted. I do enjoy your show. Recently, a friend and I began a little podcast, and it's a lot of work. Great job, Patty. Back to the ghost stories in just a few moments. First, I need to thank our supporter of our program, Best Fiends. Best Fiends, it's an awesome puzzle app that you are going to absolutely love. You're going to find yourself playing it at all sorts of crazy times, in your bedroom, in your living room, on your porch, in your bathroom. You know, all the places you travel to these days. but seriously, this is a great game. You're going to really enjoy it. I've been playing it now for months. I'm on level 47 now. It has so many layers to it. That's what I love about our show is, you know, the ghost stories. It takes you to places you had no idea that you're going to go. This puzzle game does the same thing for you. It's engaging. It's fun. If you got a little extra time on your hands right now, which you may, I suggest checking it out. Best Fiends. They update it monthly, new levels, events. It never gets old. I've been playing it, like I said, for months, and the updates are always really fun. Doesn't require the internet to play either, which is nice. If you find yourself in an area without Wi-Fi or internet, you can still play the game. So, yeah, good stuff. Best Fiends has thousands of levels already with new levels, events, and characters added every month. It's hours of fun right at your fingertips, and you can even play offline. With over 100 million downloads and tons of five-star reviews, Best Fiends is a must-play. Download Best Fiends free on the Apple App Store or Google Play. That's friends without the R, Best Fiends.
It's not something I've ever really thought of, but I can imagine that that happens more often than we realize, where people are almost wanting validation that their loved one is still there.
Mm-hmm.
because not that they're necessarily having things happen, but because they don't want to say that they're gone for good in any form. And that's got to be just, that's got to be worse than telling somebody, yeah, you've got five spirits here and here's what they are doing and why. Telling somebody that there's no hope, that your loved one is still around.
On the other podcast, The Grave Talks, I talk to a lot of investigators, and that's something that comes up semi-frequently, where we talk about when they go into an investigation, and a lot of them, they have to have, you know, a lot of questioning before they even get to the doorstep to verify and kind of weed that stuff out. Otherwise, you'd be going on more of those cases than you'd actually be going into haunting cases because people... you know, they grieve in different ways. And even if it's not a grieving thing, sometimes people just already have the assumption made and their conclusions are drawn that this is what is happening. They want somebody to just validate that their house is haunted. And they don't want any validation in any other way, shape, or form. They don't want you to come in and say, actually, your water heater is going bad.
Yeah.
And that's what's causing this. Or any other... the hundreds of possible logical explanations for unexplained noises and things of that nature, which you, if you're truly investigating, you want answers, you want to narrow that stuff down and say, yeah, I get why this would feel that way or you'd think that, but truly this is all it is. Replace this or that and you're good. But more times than not, it gets confrontational and it gets where people don't want to hear that answer of, no, your house really isn't haunted. It's this. Or at least what you're explaining to me, what you're experiencing is not a ghost. It was caused by this logical thing over there. But that would be difficult, you know, especially if you're investing the time and you're investing the effort and the energy and you, you know, go in and you're diagnosing a problem and the person is just like, nope. I don't think so. I still think it's this. I still think it's that. I suppose it's like a lot of doctors go through that too, where, well, I WebMD'd this or I Googled this and now I think I know what it is. And the doctor's like, no, I'm pretty sure it's this, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I will say though that my WebMD and Googling with my anxiety, I have found the answer before.
Oh,
when a doctor didn't.
Sure. And you know, in some case, and I wasn't pointing at you saying that, although all my toes under the desk were pointing in your direction and my fingers under. No, I'm not. I just stopped doing that myself because I can go. I think it really depends how much you trust your physician. It's what it comes down to. Sometimes you have ones that are like really good and some you're like, you got to kind of hold the hand and be like, here's all the symptoms. I'm checking these boxes. Tell me why I'm wrong.
In Branson, I had to do my own homework and go in and say, here's what it is and here's why and here's what we need to do. And guess what? It healed up.
Yeah.
It was just, ugh.
And that does happen.
Yeah.
It's just, it's one of those things where what do you do when you're given, you know, here's what the answers are and you don't want to take it when it comes to the paranormal.
Yeah.
It'd be tough.
It would be
tough. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. I'm really glad that you did cure your scurvy, by the way, by your WebMDing of it. They had that as like all sorts of stuff.
Do we want to tell that story, what it was?
I don't remember. Go ahead.
Well, I had been really sick the last year we were in Branson and had like bronchitis twice and pneumonia and did multiple rounds of antibiotics, like 5 or 6 rounds of antibiotics. Well, when you do that, sometimes you can develop different types of yeast infections, not just the one that, you know, everybody thinks of, but the one where it can basically be injuries can kind of almost have like a yeast infection on it. Well, I had this spot at the corners of my mouth and it was almost like, at first I thought it was like a zit or something, but it wouldn't go away and it kept getting worse and spreading. And it was because of the multiple rounds of antibiotics. It was a type of yeast infection and nobody could figure out what it was. And finally I did my homework and we treated it as if that's what it was and it went away. So I have to say, possibly that's what it was. I don't know for sure, but
your answer, you're going to them and saying, here's what I found that all of you seem to be missing.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
Well, and they just kept giving me antibiotics and antibiotics.
Which clearly that doesn't...
No.
It wasn't working. Yeah. That's good times.
No, it was not. Good when you've got literally a growth on your face. Gross.
It was Branson. At least they didn't ask you to just pray for it to go away.
Well, in Branson, nobody looks at you if you got something like that on your face anyway.
And people didn't want to talk to us in Branson because we talk about ghosts for a living. It's like, you do what? You worship Satan on a podcast? Yeah,
exactly.
No. Not get the children away from the devil worshipers. Get them out of the Applebee's. Get them away from... Yeah. We never did go to the Applebee's in Branson.
Oh, we missed out.
I like the orange chicken bowl. I haven't had it in like 10 years. It's bursting with country fresh flavor. Mm-hmm. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. That Real Ghost Stories Online. Next story says, hey, this is my fourth attempt to send this. I seem to be having the worst luck trying to get this to you. I just keep losing what I've typed and then I just lose it. So that's just the minor display of the weird happenings that I've been accustomed to. I've experienced things, if I can remember, but I'm not about to put you through my life story. I'll share with you, though, one of my favorites. First, I should give some background. I grew up in a trailer home, or some would call it a mobile home. Tin square things that sit on blocks, maybe with some skirting. My trailer was old by the time we moved in, so it needed repairs and updates. There were three bedrooms, a master bedroom, and two tiny rooms, maybe 8x4 square feet, side by side. The room to the left was locked, and this didn't bother us any. We just took down the wall between the two rooms and made a big one. There were three of us, me and my two brothers. My bed sat against the wall on the right side of the room with my brothers on the left. I laid in bed one night. I had a sleepover that night. My friend lay in the bed beside me, fast asleep, slept through the whole thing, and almost didn't believe me. I was facing my brother's side of the room, trying to get to sleep. At first, it was quiet, like it was in the distance. I could hear soft singing, and as I listened more carefully, it got louder and closer. I could hear what sounded like children singing, "Ring Around the Rosie." And suddenly, it's in the room. And I'm looking at the apparitions of what I thought were three children holding hands in a circle, slowly twirling as they sang. Just as I started to comprehend what was happening, they sang the last sentence, "We all fall down." And I heard, clear as day, three loud bangs, like shotgun bangs. And all at once, all three apparitions disappeared. I didn't get upset or anything. I just took it all in and told my mom all about it the next day. She was and still is very open to it all. She loves anything spooky like me, which made it very easy for me when I experienced these things. And when other things happened, after we found out we had children spirits, we started to notice things happening all the time. She had stories of something invisible sitting on the foot of her bed and the pitter-patter of little footsteps while her children slept soundly. We were silly little jokesters that liked to hide things, move things. You'd hear a random giggle behind you while doing something like showering or laundry. I believe they enjoyed the company of other children. I also believe there were two girls and one boy. The boy liked having my brothers around, and the girls seemed to enjoy the company of another girl, or at least they enjoyed playing jokes on us. We didn't mind it at all. It just became part of our lives. That may be why they enjoyed having us around. We heard rumors about a mother murdering her children. In that locked room, I could never find any evidence of this, but I knew they were there. We all knew. It was where the case, if I would explain it to anyone else of what happened. I have many more stories just from that trailer alone, and I'd totally love to share more, especially the scary ones and my not-so-favorites. I love your show. I love hearing others' people's experiences. It validates mine. I just started listening and can't wait to hear more. Thank you for such a cool show. Oh yeah, just wanted to throw in a little tidbit. You read a story about a woman hearing her husband's voice when he wasn't home and her baby knocking on the bathroom door while he was asleep. I believe it's called a mimic, not a doppelganger. A doppelganger is a version of the person from another reality or universe, whereas a mimic does just that. It mimics. It's said to be an evil entity that mimics your loved ones, possibly just to torture you mentally or physically, and has appeared as a dark shadow form. I thought you might enjoy that thought. Again, thank you for such a cool show, and I look forward to hearing much more.
I think of all the nursery rhymes that little ghost kids could sing, Ring Around the Rosie Takes the Cake.
Yeah.
You know, that was about, I believe that was about scarlet fever.
Really?
Yeah. ashes, we all fell down was a joke about dying.
Okay.
Scarlet fever. So I was just like, okay, maybe that's why.
Yeah. That's creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, anytime you hear children doing anything in the middle of the night and they're not your kids, you know, it's going to be very unsettling. You never really know exactly what it is you're dealing with. I just seen a list here earlier in the day, and I'm trying to see if I can find it. It was like the 20 creepiest sounds you can hear in your house at night.
I don't know that I want to hear this list.
I don't know. It's not, I'm not finding it. But it was interesting stuff. It was everything from, you know, children laughing to, you know, different sort of bangs and all. It was all different stuff. And it was interesting. It was like, oh, this would be great. Just, you know, just take this list and put these sound effects together and start playing it in the other room late at night.
No.
And then put a camera on Jenny and live stream it.
That would not be okay.
Anyway, creepy stuff. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Okay, so hitchhiking stories. Never pick up a hitchhiker. We talked about some of our stories earlier. Luckily, we survived. This is a story that was on NPR about a man hitchhiking across the country who got a ride from a couple. A while after he got home, he found them on the news. They'd killed a man earlier and were driving with the corpse in their car. They'd killed and robbed a few people before then. He was surprised because they were so nice. Remember, niceness does not always equal goodness, but always be nice.
Ew. I think I'd be more bothered by the fact that the corpse was in the car.
I think it would smell at some point, but I guess
yeah.
If you really got it, you got to use the right type of saran wrap when you kill someone to keep the smell in. It's just, if you don't, you can't go with generic. You got to use Reynolds wrap too. I think that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Am I saying too much? The woman in the box, this reminds me of the woman in the box. She accepted a ride from a couple with a baby. They kidnapped her and held her for 7 years. I heard her story when I was a kid, and it's a reason I would never hitchhike. So that's someone that was taking heed to a urban legend, mm-hmm. if you will. There's a middle-aged man in the town that I'm from. He was a genuinely sweet and caring person. And mind, this is a really small town. One day he picked up a hitchhiker just outside of town. He told him to jump in the bed of the truck and he'd drive him to the store. About halfway there, the hitchhiker shot him in the back of the head for no reason. Didn't even steal anything. And if I remember correctly, he got caught. He didn't die, but he's permanently disabled and has severe brain damage. I remember when I first heard that, it scared the crap out of me. It's probably about 12 years ago now. But I still think about it anytime someone talks about hitchhikers. It scares me to think someone would do something like that just because.
Yeah.
There's some warm, fuzzy stories here about hitchhiking. I like that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to this story. Hey.
Hello, Brewskis. Hi, Carol. My name's Evelyn, and I'm calling from Sydney, Australia. I love your show. I love listening to it every day. And I have a story to tell you. So I'm a tarot reader. I have people coming to my home regularly and I just do readings for them. And I have a little girl who just has grown up around this sort of stuff, not around spirits, but around having people come to my home and ask questions and generally wanting to know about their future. So we went on vacation to Thailand for a couple of years ago. My daughter was 7. And while we're sitting in the middle of the ocean just swimming, my daughter looks at me and says, you know, Mum, the girl that is in my room, she died in a place like this. And so I just looked at her frozen. I thought, oh, is this something that she's imagined? And I said, Olivia, what girl in your room? And she said, oh, it was a little girl in my room. She's there all the time. She likes to talk to me. And she drowned, Mum. She drowned, and her mum and dad and brother were looking for her for a long time. They're okay. The brother didn't drown, but her and her brother were playing in the sea, and she drowned. And so I was really concerned that she was saying this, because she's not a kid that talks about death or even knows about spirits or anything like that. So I said to her, what's this little girl's name? And she said, I don't really know. Every time she says it, I can't understand if she's saying Ariana or Ariadna. So I knew she wasn't making it up, because I thought, well, if the kid's making this up, it's an imaginary friend. She'd have a name, you know. So I started to get really concerned. And then she said, she told me not to tell you, Mum, because she knows that you'll get rid of her if I told you. If I tell you that she's there, you will go home and get rid of her. And then I was freaking out. So we're in Thailand on this holiday, and, you know, I'm saying to my husband, I can't wait to get back to Sydney. I want to know what the hell's in this room. And so I came back. We came back. I cleared out the room in every way possible. So, you know, the Bible, the saging, I grew up in Brazil, so there was a lot of rituals that I've known from growing up there. I did it all. And 2 weeks later, so I'd keep an eye on Olivia, and she, my daughter, and she wouldn't really say anything. 2 weeks later, I said, do you still see the little girl in your room? And she said, no, I don't see her anymore. I don't believe that that was a ghost. I don't believe it was a benevolent spirit, because I just got this very, very heavy feeling that if this thing was telling my daughter, don't tell your mum will get rid of me, it's because it was something a lot darker that wanted to just stay. But that's just my feeling. I'm not sure, but I got that feeling like it was not just a normal spirit. I often do clearings and things, and I don't demand that spirits leave. I'm very much, I'm very polite to spirits, just like I am to people that are still living. I don't believe in banishing or anything. It's just politely saying, please cross over. You'll be much happier moving on to the next space than hanging out here with us. And I do that wherever I go. So I don't know. I don't think this was anything good at all. So anyway, I wanted to share that with you. And yes, and a big hello to all of your listeners. I love listening to their stories, to all the friends across the sea. Big hi from me from Sydney, Australia. Thanks.
What do you think?
I think I would be too curious and want to try and find out if a little girl with that name or anything remotely like it had lived there before.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that she wasn't real, because she could have been from someplace else and just decided to follow them home.
But sure.
I would kind of be so curious to do some research on it.
Do you think it immediately means that it's something dark if it's don't tell mom I'm here? Or could it be, I mean, kids do that shit all the time where it's like, don't tell your mom that we did this or something.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to get caught. Could it just be the simple childlike thinking of the ghost, because they're still a child and they don't want to get caught because they're afraid that if the mom does find out that the ghost is there, she will take steps to remove her. And it's not because she's evil. It's just, you know,
I mean, that's possible. But then how often do we hear of things? Oh, they're pretending to be a little girl spirit. And mm-hmm. then they're not.
Yeah. And they eat the cat.
Yeah.
You know, it's obviously impossible to know. I think a lot of it will come down to something like that. The sensitive individual who's there, that's kind of making the call on what it is, what they're getting out of it.
Mm-hmm.
What are they feeling? Are they feeling this is the energy of a little girl, or is this something else that's manipulating a kid? I found that list of here's some of the top creepy sounds.
Okay.
Middle of the night in your house. You don't want to hear child's laughter. Number one, when you have no children. It's kind of creepy sometimes when you have kids too, but honestly, it's a little like, what are they laughing at? Especially like, you know, kids have different laughs to different things. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's funny laugh. There's kind of maniacal laugh. There's all, and it's like, well, that's not a, I'm watching TV laugh. Like, what the hell is she plotting up there? Yeah. You know, someone saying your name in the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. That'd be creepy. Footsteps. An inexplicable baby's cry. Knocking at the door. A TV turning on. And this is something I don't think a lot of people remember anymore. Because they're silent now. They don't have that slight high-pitched buzz mm-hmm. that they used to have. You could be in the other part of the house and you could just know there was a TV on somewhere. Creaky door. Singing. Humming noises, radio static, a piano, a Furby reactivating itself. That's on the list right there.
Okay.
A Furby reactivating itself. Snapping twigs and branches, it's a squeaky swing set, gate closing, doorbell, bird hitting the window, screaming bobcat, running faucet, mice in the walls. Those are some of the creepy sounds. Mm-hmm. Sounds like one of those great nature tapes you could use to go get at the store where you press the button and it's like, soothing sounds of the ocean.
It reminds me of that record that you found that I listened to as a little girl at Halloween. And then we were in an antique store and you found it.
Yeah. It's just basically all this on record. Yeah, that's a cool one. I like those creepy old records. That is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or through Patreon, patreon.com/realghoststories. And you'll get access to all of our bonus material, brand new stuff every single week, and advanced episodes. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.